the Bible, you see, hope is a certainty. It is a certainty of something that is yet to come. There is no maybe about it. So biblical hope, then, is something that is definitely going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Join us as we remember a member of our church family.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from some of Beth's favorite portions. Psalms 103 was one of them. It reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with the steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for men, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, and to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over them. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Then the first 16 verses of Psalms 119. "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I lean your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my heart I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word."
Thank you, Wayne. What kind of person was Beth? What were her interests and her passions in life? Well, Beth's obituary tells us this. It says, "Maribeth J. Hobbold, 79, of Belvedere, passed away peacefully on December 1st, 2017. She was born on December 23, 1937, to Everett and Julia Bartush. Maribeth was born in Chicago at Lutheran Deaconess Hospital. She met Frank L. Hobbled, and they married in 1965 in Chicago, Illinois, and eventually settled in Wonder Lake, Illinois. She was a homemaker and worked in child care and food service for the Meals on Wheels program and drove a bus for the Sedum program. Maribeth was preceded in death by her husband, Frank, her parents, her sister, Evelyn Weaver, and grandson, Austin Hobbled. She is survived by her sons, Donald and wife Nancy Hobbled of Genoa City, Wisconsin, Thomas and wife Karen Hobbled of Woodstock, Illinois, and Randall Hobbled of Downers Grove, Illinois, and daughter Gail and husband Walter Curran, and grandchildren Amber Hobbled, Amanda and husband Scott Dittmer, Heather and husband Mark Brown, Megan, Natasha, and Alexis Curran, Abigail Hobbled, Caleb and wife Brenna Hobbled, and Kersta, Nathaniel, Levi, Ariana, and Ella Hobbled, and seven great-grandchildren. That's a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren there, isn't it? Now, well, in just a moment here, we're going to hear from several persons who will share their thoughts on her. But as I reflect on Beth, there are several things that are going to stand out for me and my memories of her. The first one, of course, was her profound love for her family, her love for her children, for her, and especially for her grandchildren. That's one thing I have seen over and over and over again. As much as parents love their children, it seems like there's just this really special place in their hearts for grandchildren and great-grandchildren, isn't it? A special place there for them, and she definitely had that. But of course, I remember, too, her strong faith in her Savior, her love for the Lord Jesus Christ and her confidence in Him, and the hope of eternal life which she had in Him. And we give thanks for that today. We celebrate that today. But another thing that I will always remember about her is that without a doubt, I think perhaps more than just about anyone else I've ever known, she was a woman with a passion for prayer. She loved to pray, and she loved to pray about anything and everything, and she loved to pray for people. In fact, even she loved to pray so much. You know, the scriptures tell us to pray at all times, to pray in all things, and she really took that to heart. In fact, sometimes she would call and she would ask for prayer for things, and wow, she even wants us to pray about that. Some of you know what I'm talking about there. So she definitely had an enduring passion for prayer. She believed in prayer, and I will always remember that about her. And we give thanks then today that she is now with the Lord in the presence of her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share then, too, some thoughts that we're going to hear from some folks in just a moment here. But I want to share with you, too, some thoughts from Beth's daughter, Gail, who sent these to me. She wanted me to read this there. She said, "I would like to thank each and every one of you for being here today to remember my mother and celebrate her arrival in heaven. I honestly do not know how I can adequately describe my mom with words. She lived her life in the most positive way. She saw the good in everything, refusing to look at the negative. Her actions and the incredible example that she showed us, her grandchildren, her children, her grandchildren, are behaviors that should be emulated by all of us. She was a person who possessed qualities we should all try to imitate. My mother cared deeply for everyone she knew, whether you were her family, a friend, or a member of the church. She was always willing to help out someone in need, and she had the kindest heart. She was charitable and giving, considerate and kind. I have modeled my life around this, and I know that I am the person that I am today because of her influence. She raised three sons and myself, her only daughter. Imagine her thoughts when I had four daughters after being around brothers my whole life. But I can say she adored her grandchildren, and she threw a baby shower for each and every one of my girls, insisting that they should be showered with blessings. My girls not only had her as their grandmother, but also her closest friend, Armony Bach, whom my girls affectionately called Grandma Bach. At their birthday celebrations, both grandmas were in attendance. I can recall a few special times when I could feel the love my mom had for me. When I was about 5 years old and it was close to my birthday and Christmas, she took me to an exclusive children's shop. I fell in love with this red velvet skirt with a white ruffled top. And to my surprise, she bought it for me. And she included white tights and a pretty slip, telling me not to say a word or my brothers would be upset. There was another time when our heater decided to stop working overnight, and it was so cold in the house. I was half asleep, and I heard her come into my room. She covered me up, tucking me in with one of the big crocheted afghans my grandmother had made. But my favorite instance was when I wanted a piano. She somehow acquired one for me, and I had the honor of being a student of Mrs. B and learning to play. And if you were a student of Mrs. B, you always played for a church service. And my mom loved hearing me practice the hymns, with her favorite being How Great Thou Art. She didn't care too much for my scales, though. But my love for playing continues on to this day with my eldest daughter and her daughter. And when I had my children, she would always ask me what they needed or when I was pursuing my career if she could do anything for me. And that was the type of person she was. You know, my mother didn't initially bring me to church. I remember Otto Menelesino stopping by just after we moved into the community. He was full of energy and so on fire to get everyone coming to church. It was the kindness of the Andersons bringing me to Sunday night service and Pioneer Girls and then staying just to chat with my mom that eventually led to the whole family attending. Her spirit has not left us, but we take comfort now in knowing that now she is standing at the gates of heaven, breathing in huge breaths of air, free from pain, no longer in a wheelchair. And it makes me so happy for her and made it easy for me to tell her that it was okay to go. Each of us loves her in a different way, and she is free to join Frank and the others that have gone before her, freeing her from the pain she was experiencing. Everyone who is ever touched by her in his or her lifetime should have faith that she will be watching over them, because that is just the kind of person she was. Cherish the memories you have of her and honor her memory by doing good things for others. My girls, Heather, Megan, Natasha, Alexis, and I thank you for being here today. So there were some others who wanted to come forward and to speak, and I'll ask them to do so now.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming today. Most of you know, my name's Tom. We're gathered here today to honor our mother, or my mom. My mom was raised in Chicago, where she was a little girl, and her sister were raised at a boarding school for a period of time due to a family financial hardship. The boarding school was called Chapel Hill, a former children's home on the southwest corner of California and Foster Avenues, immediately just west of Swedish Covenant Hospital in Chicago. The boarding school contained a 2 to 3 story residential and classroom buildings, totaling about 100,000 square feet. The organization subsequently became affiliated with the University of Chicago and today operates at the university as the Chaplain Hall Center for Children. Mom talked about this just to us at Thanksgiving of this year. That's kind of, it was important to her. So she brought it up to me, and she even had a picture she had clipped out and she had saved of what the buildings looked like. So she just brought it back to memory recently. Growing up, I can remember Mom always being there for us and our schooling and upbringing. I was just a little boy when I decided to start my career as a landscaper. We had a blue spruce tree in our front yard, and I decided that it was my own need to trim the top off of the tree. Needless to say, Mom was upset with me, and Dad said we should leave her alone for a while, and we did. Our mom was wonderful at cooking meals for us. I can remember Sunday dinners after church was always important to her, and also dinners during the week as a family. I can remember working on my homework and Mom saying to me, "Tom, just look back in the subject line and you'll find the answer to the question being asked." And I listened, and it worked. For the eighth grade graduation, dating myself here, back in 1980 for me, we were permitted to ride our bikes to school that day, Harrison School right here in Winter Lake. And the previous day before, she had taken me to the Schwinn store that was still in Woodstock, and I was able to get a new 10-speed bike with Mom for this special event. The summer before I started high school, I had gotten a part-time job. It was detasseling corn, so if anybody knows about that, that's all hard work. And my first check, Mom and me both went out to buy clothes for my freshman year of high school in Crystal Lake. and spent the day there. I can remember it like yesterday. Vacation Bible School. I can remember when I was young and we went to Vacation Bible School here at the church, and Mom and had worked with other moms here at the church. Our mom had worked part-time outside of our home as a coordinator for the Meals on Wheels program here on Wood Lake for a period of time. It was held over at the Lutheran church here. And then Mom also drove a small bus for, it was called the Special Education District of McHenry County, and the abbreviation is SEDUM. And then later in her life did some home child care for families. Life lessons. Growing up as a child, we all helped doing laundry at the laundromat. And there was a specific way to do clothes and then to press them once we were done. Then there was the lesson when Mom had been asking and asking and asking for Rainy and me not to drink out of Pepsi bottles directly. Pepsi used to be shipped to people in glass bottles back then. Well, one day I came in from outside in the summer and I beat my brother to the refrigerator and took a drink out of the bottle. And Mom had put some vinegar in that bottle. And I spit it out, and she laughed at me and said, "Please don't drink out of the bottles." Lesson learned. Mom is the mentor. I can remember growing up and Mom supporting me with Bible verses all the time. I'd spent time in Army boot camp, and her letters impacted my life greatly. Just this fall, one of my visits to her at Maple Crest Nursing Facility in Belvedere, Mom gave me a devotional and wrote my name on the back of it and said, "I'd like a copy back, please." Our mom was a prayer warrior and would ask that she could be praying for us in our life and our family. When Dad had his strokes, Mom wanted to go visit him in the rehab place in Rockford. So we would go on the weekends to visit, and the love that was expressed by their hugs and kiss, I will never forget, that they have been showing me all these years. Mom, back in January this year, Mom and Dad had moved out of the assisted living facility into Maple Crest, the nursing care facility, and Mom had unfortunately refractured her left leg, which was the one with her knee replacement. Through weeks of bed rest and a portable cast being placed on her leg, her bones had healed through answered prayer. She had just seen the surgeon in November for her last appointment, and I was with her, and he said it had been healed. So some of the weekly lists my mom would send me. Mom had small needs each week, and I would come to visit with her. The list would need be from batteries to spice drops to gum, now and then country donuts, not all the time, Sweet Bob Stripes, Salerno butter cookies. I challenge you to find that in a grocery store nowadays, to name a few items. Mom's text messages me would be each day, and this is what she would say on the text messages: "What day and what time can you be here?" I can remember some of her text messages saying, "I'll wait for you by the front door." Just this fall, Mom was so concerned about her future that she contacted the VA for what benefits she had under Dad's military service from a newspaper clipping she had given me, and I assured her this was taken care of. Here's the little newspaper clipping. Mom had Jesus Christ as her personal Savior while coming to the Bible Church and learning from the teaching of Pastor Wright and Pastor Conklin. And some of Mom's Bible passages are Psalm 86:16, "Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant." Psalm 103, 122, and Psalm 119:116, which was our scripture reading for today. Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and always acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." And then Jeremiah 29:11-13, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Lamentations 3:22-26 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And then one of the other verses, two more. I got John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and one and only Son, that who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then John 16:31-33 says, do you now believe? Jesus replied, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yes, I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Mom, you will be missed by all your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Thank you for all your love and wisdom you have shared and instilled in all of us. You are now walking and running again. No more pain, no more suffering. I will miss you with all my heart. Mom, love you, and I'm proud to be called your son, Thomas. Until we meet in heaven, love always, Tom.
Well, thanks, brother. I appreciate that. I know Mom appreciates that, too. I'm Randy. I was lucky to be the youngest of everybody. And growing up the youngest, there's always things to adapt with. Again, we heard so many different things today about Mom. And it's great. It's great that she was a prayer warrior. It's just great that her heart was there. And it's just outstanding just to reflect on the years, and they go by so fast. But I'm just so blessed to have Mom and Dad just be a great model and just teaching over the years. I've been very humbled in the past years. She did battle so much with her health, and it was a struggle. Over the years, and she would always call and ask every time she had ache or pain, and I'm like, Mom, I'm not a doctor, I'm a paramedic. You have to go see a doctor, I'm not a doctor. So it was always good, but she endured, and it was just great to be there with her, and she knew she was surrounded by family, and what a way to go. Just to be surrounded by family and be in the presence of the Lord. One book that I read, it's from 1 Minute After You Die. It's by Pastor Erwin Lutzer. He's the pastor, or emeritus pastor now, of the Moody Church here in Chicago. And if you can just bear with me, it's just so great about just the passage, because I like to read one. And this is just one of the paragraphs. We already emphasized that we will make the transition into heaven without a break in consciousness. We will meet Christ and be introduced to the company of the redeemed, those who you did not know on earth, just as instantly known those your earthly friends who you will join. So we just have so many different knowledge of when we go into Christ's presence, it's unbelievable. I mean, our body's a tent, and it's going to fail as we get older. But the good news is, you know, Mom and Dad knew Christ as their Savior, and we're going to see Him again someday. And on that day, we're not going to know no more death, no more sin, no more sorrow. Christ is going to wipe away all of our tears. And we're going to be fully alive. And that's where she's at now. They're both in his presence. So that's just reassuring to know that. I just really appreciate to the depth of their love and how, you know, how she was there and helped me through schooling and Dad, too. So I've been very blessed to have a dad and a mom. Just the foundation in Christ. It's been very blessed. So, and again, we just thank everybody for attending today. It's been very wonderful.
You know, I work in the nursing homes, and I have to yell really loud. And so I get used to that. I will use the microphone, though. Thank you. My name is Sharon Heldman, and I have been working in the nursing homes holding church services for 38 years. And I got to know Frank and Beth just recently in Belvedere. I like to think that there's a little church there called the First Church of Heritage Woods. There was like six or seven people that met twice a month, and they were two of the people that came. We had a wonderful time together. It was a sing time, a Bible lesson, a prayer time, and then we always hung around afterwards to talk to each other and get to know each other better. I really appreciated meeting them because in my 38 years, I didn't run into a lot of people who were veteran Christians, who really knew Christ as their Savior, came up the same way that I did, you know, in a Bible church background, and they knew all the songs, they knew the Bible verses, and it was so excellent. We hit it off right away. I'm just going to tell you a few things I learned about Beth while I was there. One of the things that I learned about her is that she loves to sing. She loved to sing, and we have songbooks with great big print, and she would always want to sing How Great Thou Art, which we found out today. But she always liked to sing all the songs, and her husband had a very nice voice. You know that. Frank had a nice voice, and he'd bring his CDs along, and he'd sing, and sometimes he'd get tired, and he'd doze. And Beth would always poke him gently and wake him up and show him where we were singing, and especially as he got older. The second thing was that your mom was so organized. You know, she had everything on her wheelchair, a little bag with phone numbers and lots of interesting things, and then she had her phone. She knew how to handle that phone very well. And I found out that even when she wasn't there, when she was in rehab, she had everything under control back at home. And she would talk to Frank and tell him things that he should do. And she was worried about him being at home. And she would ask me to check on him. And one of the things I found out about her is that she loved the scripture. She loved the Bible so much. And we used to have these Bible verse cards. I still do hand these out. I hand these out. I go to 9 different nursing homes twice a month, and I hand out these Bible verse cards. And these really are the best thing about the ministry. But she used to love those. And if I would forget to bring them, she would say to me, "I'm really disappointed that you didn't bring a Bible verse card this time." Well, when she got into rehab and I went to visit her, I brought her a bunch of Bible cards, and I handed her one, and she held it. I can't do it because I have to hold the microphone, but she held it in her hands, and she started to cry, like I had given her a diamond ring or something. She was so happy to have that Bible verse. She said she had called Frank and said, "Frank, please don't forget to bring me the Bible verse card from the meeting." And he had forgotten. And so I brought it to her, and she was just thrilled. Second to the last time that I saw her was at Maple Crest. I went to see her, and I brought her a bunch of Bible verse cards, and I sat and we chatted, and I rubbed her back a little bit, and, you know, just had a nice time together. I handed her those cards, and she said to me, "Can you bring me the card that says, 'God's right hand will hold me up when I'm in trouble'?" And I said, "Sure." So I went home, and I found one of those cards, and I brought it back to her. She really liked the verse. I'm going to read it to you here. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that precious that that was important to her, to have that Bible verse? I'm thankful for the time I had with Frank and Beth. They were a blessing to me. They added something to our group that the others could not add because they were new Christians. It was good to hear from them that they grew up knowing Christ. They had a family that was Christian. I was privileged to be somebody that acted like a mini minister to them. And I will always remember them. And when I look at this picture up here of her, I was so excited when I saw her new hairdo. She looked so cute. I don't think she looks 79, does she? I think she looks great. And I had a privilege, that was a privilege, to know your mom and your dad. And thank you for allowing me to say a few things today. By the way, there's a card for every one of you that's a Christmas card. And then on the back is that Bible verse that was her favorite Bible verse.
Beth has passed from us. She has passed from this life into the life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. She lived in the hope of Christ, and she died in the hope of Christ, and she is now in the presence of Christ. As followers of Christ, we are a people of hope. We are a people with hope, and we are a people who have the blessed hope. But what is hope according to the Bible? Now, the everyday understanding of hope is that it is a wish, it's a desire or a preference for something that may or may not happen. That's how we usually use that word hope. We hope that it doesn't rain for our family outing. We hope that our favorite team wins the game. Or we hope that we get that job that we're seeking. But the Bible defines hope differently. In the Bible, you see hope is a certainty. It is a certainty of something that is yet to come. There is no maybe about it. So biblical hope, then, is something that is definitely going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. And so then when we say that we have hope in Christ, we're saying that as believers in Christ, we have the hope, the certainty that God is going to make all things new. We have the hope, the certainty that one day God will raise our earthly bodies and he will transform them into resurrection bodies suitable for eternity. Believers then have this hope, this certainty that we will live and reign with Christ forever and ever on a new earth free from the ravages of sin. Beth liked to talk about this hope that we have in Christ. You know, when her husband Frank died, when he passed into the presence of Christ, I sat down with Beth and we went through the scriptural verses, the teaching on our hope in Christ, the scope of hope, if you will. Sometime later, she called me again and she asked if we could go through it again. And I said, sure. And she asked, could I write those references down for her? I said, sure. So I wrote them all down and I gave them to her then. Sometime after that, she called again and she asked if I could text all those references to her because she lost the list that I gave her for that day. But I texted them right back, so she had those verses again. And so I thought then for today, as we've been reflecting on Beth and celebrating her life and celebrating the hope that she had in Jesus, I thought what I would do would be just to share with you some of those verses about hope in Christ, the scope of our hope in Christ. Of course, we know it all starts off with that wonderful verse in the Gospel of John 3:16 that was just read a little earlier. I think many of us know that. It says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life, eternal life. Also in the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And of course, that wonderful story in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, where there were Jesus was consoling a grieving sister, two grieving sisters over the death of their brother, Lazarus. And he knew that in just a short time, he was going to raise Lazarus as a powerful demonstration of his power over death, knowing that it would give hope to countless millions and millions of people for millennia. But Jesus said to this grieving sister, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That is profound hope. We're also told this in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Here it is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. He had been gathered with his disciples in the upper room celebrating the Passover meal. And he had been telling them for some time that he was going to be rejected, that he would be crucified, that he would die, that he would be buried, but that he would rise again after 3 days. But yet still, this wasn't quite sinking in to the minds of the disciples. They couldn't imagine that that was actually going to happen to their Lord. But now, as that moment is getting closer and closer, the reality of that has begun to sink in for them. And they're finally understanding that. And their hearts have become very anxious. And so Jesus said this to them. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that you may be where I am also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul was under house arrest in Rome. He was writing to the church of Philippi. He wasn't absolutely sure that he was going to be released from arrest there in Rome. He thought that he would, but he wasn't sure. He thought it was possible that he might be martyred for his faith for Christ there in Rome. And in fact, some years later, that's exactly what happened. But here, as he's writing to the Philippians, he wants them, he does not want their hearts to be troubled, because he emphasized the fact that he had the hope of Christ. And whether he lives or dies, he has Christ. And so he says in Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. If he lives on in the body now, he has Christ with him in the hope of Christ. But if he dies, and one day he would, just as we will, it's gain. Why? Because we are in the presence of Christ then, to receive the inheritance he has for us. He emphasizes that again also in Philippians 3. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Paul also told the Thessalonian believers that they didn't need to be concerned about those believers who had died before Jesus came. He said, well, Jesus is coming again. Well, what about the ones who died? Are they going to miss out on his coming? Are they going to miss out on that resurrection of the body and when Jesus comes again? But he encouraged them, and he encourages us with these words. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that is, those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And then in 1 Corinthians 15 is this wonderful passage about the resurrection and the hope of the resurrection. He says, starting in verse 35, but someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. And similarly, there are different kinds of flesh, one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. But there are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. And the glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. And it is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. He goes on to say, what I am saying then, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. He says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. And then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. You know, it's something, too, to try to think on, reflect on. What is to come? What is God going to do in us and through us in the life that is to come? And the scripture tells us that actually we can't even imagine it, that it's even beyond what we can imagine. And that somehow, incredibly, that God is even using the pain and the sorrows of this world for a future glory in ways we can't even comprehend. And I know that Beth had her share of grief and sorrow and pain, didn't she? But here's what we're told in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. It says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. In Revelation 21, we're told, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a shout, a loud shout from the throne, saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain.' All of these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life, and all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" So that is our blessed hope, this hope that we have. But one final thought here from the scriptures on this hope is this hope that we have in Romans 8, which tells us that while this great life, this great hope is ours, and we will experience it in its fullness, until then we need to know that Christ is with us and that nothing, not even death, can separate us from his love. And so he says in Romans 8:38, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, not even death, neither angels, demons, our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is our hope." As I was reflecting on these things, I came across this quote by C.S. Lewis. He's a favorite author. I know many of us love his writings. And he says this about this transition from this world to the next. He said, "Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave with regret? There are better things ahead than any we leave behind." So she has left us behind, but she has gone to far, far better things. And that hope that we have is that through faith in Christ, we too will join her in those better things, that better country. This is our hope. I want to conclude by sharing a couple of promises of comfort in the scripture. The first is in 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter is speaking here to persons who are grieving and anxious, and he says, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And then in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "You, Lord, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Well, it's my prayer then that you will find peace and comfort in your memories of Beth. May you find peace in the knowledge that she is now with the Lord. And may you find peace and comfort in the love of family and friends, but most of all in the almighty arms of God, because God is a gracious God. His grace is amazing, is beyond our comprehension. It is this goodness and blessing that God gives to undeserving people, people like me, people like us. And his amazing grace can see us through the pain and the sorrow of life and on into life eternal in his presence. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal God, you are the consolation and the support of all who trust in you. I pray that you would grant your strength today to our grieving hearts. We thank you, though, Lord, that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We thank you for that hope in Jesus Christ, and we thank you that Beth had that hope in Jesus and is now with you awaiting that great and glorious day of your return, when you will raise our mortal bodies and complete the wondrous work of salvation that you have begun in us. Enable us then, Lord, to look beyond this earthly life and and help us to see the things that are eternal, and grant that we may follow with true faith wherever you lead, so that when our days are finished upon this earth, we will find our eternal home with you. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.